If you're listening to this CD, then a fellow soldier has given this to you because he thought it would be of great value to you. This message is to be both a challenge and an encouragement to you. I'm preaching this sermon to you because I have a sincere desire to minister to you during a time of great stress in your life. I am not emotionally withdrawn from your concerns because I have a son in the infantry in Iraq who is fighting with you. One might ask, what do you say to a soldier during times of war? I don't have to remind you of the stress that you're under. You realize the dangers of war. You're reminded on a constant basis what's at stake. You probably think about spiritual matters more than usual because you realize your mortality. You may have already experienced the horrors of war. You may already have known somebody killed or wounded. You may have already seen things or will see things that the overwhelming majority of us will never see during our lifetime. In the face of the ravages of war, you need to be encouraged. You need to be encouraged in two major areas. The first area is the most important. You need to think about your mortality. Now, I'm sure that I really don't have to remind most of you about this, but I need to have you think about it in the right way. You need to ask yourself the most important questions you will ever ask. And those questions are, what is the state of my soul? If I were to die today, where would my eternal soul go? Heaven or hell? Do I have assurance that if I die today, that my soul would go to heaven to be with Jesus? We must always realize our mortality. We are all going to die someday. We must always be prepared to face the living God who inhabits eternity. God seeks to remind us of our mortality when he says in the book of Psalms, in Psalm 90, verses 3 and 4, which says, Thou dost turn man back into dust, and dost say, Return, O children of men, for 1,000 years in thy sight are like yesterday when it passes by, or as a watch in the night. Psalm chapter 90, verses 10 through 12, says, As for the days of our life, they contain 70 years, or if due to strength, 80 years. Yet their pride is but labor and sorrow, for soon it is gone and we fly away. Who understands the power of thine anger and thy fury, according to the fear that is due thee? So teach us to number our days, that we may present to thee a heart of wisdom. Soldier, I trust that you will number your days and present before God a heart of wisdom. What this means to number your days is to consider how short your life really is in the light of eternity. As the book of James, chapter 4, verse 14 says, Our lives are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. To number your days means that you settle once and for all the state of your soul, and that you live your life in the light of eternity, realizing its brevity. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, we read, Inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment. The Bible reminds us that we only have one life to live, and it is important that what we do with this one life. The Bible reminds us in this verse that judgment is coming, when one day in eternity all men must appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the verdict concerning them. On that great and terrible day, we are told in Matthew 25, 31 through 46, that the Lord Jesus Christ will separate the sheep from the goats, as verse 46 states, and these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Every one of us must ask ourselves, Am I a sheep that goes into eternal life with Jesus in great glory? Or am I a goat that will be sent into everlasting punishment in hell? My friend, there is a way to be assured that you will go to heaven when you die. It's not whether your good works outweigh your bad works. It's not that you are spiritual minded in some vague sense. It's not whether you are trying hard to do the best that you can. The key to eternal life and the way that you can know that you're a sheep is what you do with Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Jesus also said in John 11, verses 25 and 26, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. My dear soldier, the way to eternal life is through Jesus Christ and only Jesus Christ. So what have you done with Jesus, may I ask? The Bible is very clear that we're not saved by our works, for our works cannot be good enough to satisfy the standard of the living God. God demands perfect obedience. We read in James chapter 2, verse 10, For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in one point, he has become guilty of all. And then in Isaiah chapter 64, verses 6 and 7, we read, For all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy garment, and all of us wither like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away. And there is no one who calls on thy name, who arouses himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hidden thy face from us, and hast delivered us into the power of our iniquities. As we can see, our good works are not going to get us into heaven, simply because we cannot obey perfectly as God demands. Romans 3, verse 23 says, For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And then Romans 6:23 says, For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. I hope that you can see that our good works are not good enough. Your good works will never be enough to overcome the sin that you're tainted with. As you seek to number your days, you must realize that you must run to the rock of refuge. You must seek He who is within Himself. Eternal life, and that is Jesus. Notice how Romans 6:23 ends. It says, But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. This passage says that eternal life is free. It is free. You do not have to work for it. Whereas you cannot give God the Father a perfect, sinless life of obedience to His holy law, the Lord Jesus paid the price for your sin on the cross, and He imparts His perfect life to your account as if you had obeyed it yourself. My friends, this is the gospel. This is why the gospel means good news. It is good news to have those who have no hope in themselves. I don't have any hope in myself. You don't have any hope in yourself. The Bible says in 1 Peter 3, verse 18, For Christ also died for sins for all, the just for the unjust, in order that He might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but being made alive in the Spirit. Now, what must you do to assure yourself to be a sheep? How do you get into heaven? The answer is, you must run to Jesus and beg for His mercy. You must cast yourself at His feet and ask Him to be your Lord and Savior. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 says, That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. My soldier friend, salvation is near to all of us. It is only a prayer away. You can settle once and for all your eternal destiny. Call upon Jesus in faith. Repent of your sins. Acknowledge that you have failed to obey His holy law perfectly. Trust in what Jesus has done in your place, and you will possess eternal life. Jesus has said in Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30, Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my load is light. Jesus promised us in John 10:27-29, my sheep hear my voice and I know them, and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them. And they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. Dear soldier, let me mention to you now the second important thing that you must always remember. I'm assuming that you have already prayed at some point in your life and asked Jesus Christ into your life as your Lord and Savior. I now address you as a fellow Christian so as to bring hope, comfort, and inspiration to you. God has promised to carefully watch over His children, those who are Christians. In saying this, I do not presume to say that you will never be injured or even killed in battle. God in His providence does all things for His own glory and for His children's ultimate benefit. There is a wonderful passage that was actually the favorite Bible verse of a great godly Civil War general. This verse is Romans 8:28, which says, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good, to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. It was the Civil War general's dedication to the Lord Jesus and his confidence in God's sovereign care over his people that gave this general his unwavering courage and fearlessness during death and destruction all around him. There was an incident in the general's life during a battle that his subordinates came up to him and said, "General, tell us, how is it that you can remain so calm in the midst of such destruction and death?" And the general turned to them and said, "It is my faith that gives me my courage. And if only every man had this faith, then every man would be equally courageous and fearless." What a great example that was. This passage of Romans 8:28 does not say that everything that happens to us is necessarily good. What it says is that God works together everything for good to those who love Him and who are called according to His purpose. This means that circumstances such as injury and death do happen to Christians, but God uses these circumstances for our ultimate good. This is the great comfort to the Christian. It should be a great comfort and encouragement to you as a soldier in that no matter what you see, no matter what you experience, God is in control. I want you to listen very closely to what I'm about to say now. Nothing, and I mean nothing, can happen to you but what God permits to happen. He is in control of everything, and I mean everything. Let your heart rejoice in these Bible verses that I'm about to say. Job 14, verse 5 states, "Since his days are determined, the number of his months is with thee, and his limits thou hast set, so that he cannot pass." Take comfort in Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 10, verse 29-31. "Are not two sparrows sold for a cent? And yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Therefore, do not fear. You are of more value than many sparrows." Notice Jesus said, "Do not fear." And the reason that we are not to fear is because God is in control. Because if God is in control of the birds of the air, and that not one of these birds can fall that God doesn't know about it, Jesus says, "Do you not think that God is more concerned about you than birds? And if He cares for the birds this way, then He will care for you." We do not fear when we trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Where there is faith, soldier, there is no fear. And I repeat, where there is faith, there is no fear. The Lord has determined beforehand the day of your birth and the day of your death. The Christian need not fear death as the great enemy. Yes, there's an apprehension in all of us, and especially you soldiers who are at risk on a daily basis. But for you soldiers who are Christians, take heart. The Lord your God goes before you in great might on your behalf. Some of the greatest prayers and words of the Bible were with reference to those who were soldiers at some point and who were being hunted by those who wanted to kill them. One of these persons was David, who became king of Israel. It is this David, by the way, who fought against the great Goliath and slew the great giant Goliath. Not only by that sling, but he slew him because of his faith in the living God. And it was God who gave him the strength to defeat this mighty enemy that had struck fear into the heart of all of Israel. But David's faith in a sovereign God who controls all things enabled him to defeat that great enemy. David knew of the ravages of war. He had to fight many battles. He saw much death, and yet God inspired him with some of the most wonderful words ever penned in human history. Let your heart rejoice in these excerpts from Psalm 18. Here's what Psalm 18 says. I love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my rock, in whom I take refuge. My shield and the horn of my salvation. My stronghold. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. The cords of death encompassed me, and the torrents of ungodliness terrified me. The cords of Sheol surrounded me. As the snares of death confronted me, in my distress I called upon the Lord and cried to my God for help. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry for help before him came into his ears. He sent from on high. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from those who hated me, for they were too mighty for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity. But the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. He makes my feet like hinds' feet and sets upon my high places. He trains my hands for battle, so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand upholds me, and thy gentleness makes me great. Thou dost enlarge my steps under me, and my feet have not slipped. I pursued my enemies and overtook them, and I did not turn back until they were consumed. I shattered them, so that they were not able to rise. They fell under my feet. For thou hast girded me with strength for battle. Thou hast subdued under me those who rose up against me. Thou hast also made my enemies turn their back to me, and I destroyed those who hated me. The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of my salvation, the God who executes vengeance for me, and subdues peoples under me. He delivers me from my enemies. Surely thou dost lift me above those who rise up against me. Thou dost rescue me from the violent band. Therefore, I will give thanks to thee among the nations, O Lord, and I will sing praises to thy name. This ends the reading of this portion of God's Word. This ends the reading of Psalm 18. And I encourage you to get your Bible, or to get a Bible, and to reread this marvelous Psalm 18 in its entirety. As an American soldier, you are unquestionably the best trained and best supplied soldier in the world. However, you must not trust in your military prowess. Here is what Psalm 33, verses 16 through 21 says. The king is not saved by a mighty army. A warrior is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a false hope for victory. Nor does it deliver anyone by its great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope for his loving kindness, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart rejoices in him because we trust in his holy name. My exhortation to all of you Christian soldiers, remember who you represent and to whom you owe your first allegiance. You owe it to the Lord Jesus Christ. You are never to do anything as a soldier to dishonor his glorious name. Let Micah chapter 6, verses 6 through 8, be your guide, which says, with what shall I come to the Lord and bow myself before the God on high? Shall I come to him with burnt offerings, with yearling calves? Does the Lord take delight in thousands of rams, in 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I present my firstborn for my rebellious acts, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? That is your duty as a soldier, to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly before your God. I will leave with you a marvelous passage of Scripture that shows the Christian the great hope that he possesses. Let your heart be inspired with these words found in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through verse 9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith, for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. My prayers are with you. May you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. May you have that confidence, that assurance, that you are Jesus' sheep, whom he paid a great price to redeem. Look to the Lord, from whence comes your help. Now, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace.